15 of GovX Data Points, where we talk all things government and data. I'm your host, as always, Eric Reese, but today with a guest co-host.
Hi, my name is Matt Rafeman, and I'm a senior implementation advisor with GovX at Johns Hopkins University. I've worked a lot with Seattle over the past year, and I'm excited to be here today to highlight their work on open data.
So that brings us to our topic today, where we're talking with Candace Faber, Seattle's first civic technology advocate. So we're going to talk a little bit about what that is, but also about what Candace's work is, including a variety of topics on open data from her career and also the cool things they're doing in Seattle.
And one of the neat things that Seattle's done the past couple months on open data is they recently released an open data playbook. So check out the show notes to find a link to that today. Welcome, Candace. We're happy to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me.
One thing that we want to do is every person we do interviews with is just to start off thinking about and asking each person how you got your start with working with data in cities.
To be honest, I got my start working with data for public policy at an institute in Ann Arbor, Michigan, where I spent most of the summer crying under the table in Starbucks because it was so hard. And I went from there to kind of avoiding data for a long time. I was in the Foreign Service, part of the State Department, where we work on some pretty abstract issues, like trying to move the needle on public perception of the United States. Or, for example, when I was in Afghanistan, a big part of my work was economic empowerment of Afghan women. And bringing data into that conversation wasn't really on the radar. We were sort of testing ideas, and a lot of stuff was based on personalities and assumptions. And it wasn't until I moved back to Seattle in 2013 and saw what was happening with civic hacking and got involved in the tech sector that I started to see how powerful the approaches of technology and data science could be for solving some of those really big, seemingly abstract issues and testing whether what we were doing was actually making a difference.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And obviously the international component has been in the news a lot with the Arab Spring and other sorts of things there. One question I think that would be interesting to explore is your role in Seattle. So what is your role exactly? Because you have kind of an interesting title, and I'm pretty sure most of our listeners are not familiar with this type of role in cities.
Sure. So the title is really just a title. I'm called the Civic Technology Advocate, and I think the word advocate is particularly interesting because I really have to advocate in both ways. So part of my job is working with people inside the city to get a better understanding of just how data and technology can help us with our work, and then also advocating with the broader data science and technology community for their involvement in civic issues and helping them find ways to take those incredibly valuable skills and apply them to important civic and social problems.
So how does your work with Seattle as the open data advocate, how does that work link up with priorities from the community?
Sure. So it's funny, I have to do this all the time. I'm the civic technology advocate, which for me means something a little bit bigger than open data by itself. Since I joined the city, a big part of my work has been to finalize the new open data policy, to get mayoral support for that, to have it implemented. So it's really been focused internally in the city, which is why I think a lot of people call me the open data advocate. It's fine. I like it. I'll collect them all. But I think the civic technology part is really important because that's what's giving me the opportunity to interface more directly with the community. If we look back at the history of the city's open data program, it's been in place since 2010. It was very much driven by our leadership at the time, which I think was very forward thinking, following in the footsteps of the federal government with data.gov. And really the priorities were set by what people in the city wanted to publish. And we got a lot of really useful data sets up there using that approach. We were the first in the nation to release near real-time 911 data from our computer automated dispatch. So, we did a lot of work just kind of allowing it to happen organically as parts of the city wanted to publish data. What's new now, and what I think my program opens up for the city, is a capacity to work directly with members of the community. So instead of just maybe responding to a request that comes over email, we're actually out engaging with researchers, with project managers, with entrepreneurs, with volunteers, with students, really anyone who wants to use our data. And that's helping us understand both which data sets we already have that would be most useful to them, and how we might publish that in a way that makes it really usable. But it's also pushing us to think forward, not just about kind of opening up data sets that we've already created, but what could we do with the Open Data Program to support the kind of outcomes we want to see in our community.
And so thank you for speaking about that, because I think obviously the external focus part of your work is really important, but you're also doing some really neat stuff internally. And I think it'd be great if you could share a little bit about your experience with standing up the data coordinators, the Data Camp Initiative, and the Breakfast of Champions, which I think are kind of the troika of initiatives that you're working on in a more internal facing element. So maybe if you wouldn't mind just speaking first about the Open Data Champions and the role that they play within government.
Yeah, absolutely. First, I should say, I love the Open Data Champions because it feels like we have a little tribe in the city of people who understand and care about the program. And that was something that came from the policy itself, which, you know, if you read it, it reads like any sort of government policy is very, you know, kind of top down mandating what each department or person should do. And it states that each department at the cabinet level in the city needs to select an open data champion who manages their department's participation. And of course, they have a number of responsibilities that are really important, like making sure that the data that's already up on our open data portal from their department is up to date, and creating the data set inventory for their department, working with data owners to publish new data, and make sure that that's, you know, done well with good metadata and good formatting. So there's a lot of kind of tasks attached to it. But for us, the Open Data Champions was always intended to be more than just a mechanism for implementing something from the top down. We have a rule in our program that we want it to always be fun. And if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong. And maybe that comes from this really nerdy place where we think that solving problems is really exciting and fun. But we wanted to set up our Open Data Champions to have that same feeling. So instead of just being one more set of responsibilities that they have to somehow find time in their workday for, that they really understand why it's important and feel good about doing the work. So that's where the Data Camp experience came from. Would it be helpful for me to talk a little more about that?
Yeah, and I'm also just curious, as, you know, offhand, have the work of the Open Data Champions been able to generate enthusiasm with other employees in the city? And is that starting to trickle down to other parts of work?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're still in the very early stages. The policy was passed in January. The executive order that the mayor signed was in February. And at that point, actually, we started generating enthusiasm. I think it helped that we did a big launch event out in the community and had five projects, the civic technology projects that use open data, come in and present to the people from the city who were there and from the community and from the press. And so from the very beginning, we were trying to connect the policy to the potential impact and the good that can come out of it. So that actually generated a lot of excitement within the city. And I started hearing from people who were, you know, kind of wanting to be open data champions, or, you know, if not, if they weren't the person selected, wanting to be involved in some way.
Yeah. So what's the deal with this data camp thing that you mentioned before? We've seen, I saw a little bit online about it. You've released the videos that were associated with that, and we can definitely link listeners to that resource. But maybe could you speak a little bit about where Data Camp came from, where the idea originated, and what it ended up being?
Sure. The biggest reason for doing Data Camp was practical. We had asked the department directors to select, as open data champions, people who really understood the business of their departments. People with insights into strategic priorities, who had good relationships with business owners, which is, means that they're not necessarily the most like technically savvy person in the department. So we wanted to, you know, since we're asking a lot from them, we wanted them to feel prepared to be open data champions, even if they didn't have any background in data. So that was just like a practical necessity. Wrapped around that was this desire to create a community and to, you know, make it fun to have people feel enthusiastic about it, which when there was so much new information coming at them, we realized it was going to be really hard to do in a day and also not necessarily helpful to spread out over, you know, say a number of training sessions in a month. So we basically sketched out a 3-day training, Tuesday through Thursday, so that the champions would have time to prepare and then really kind of dive in and spend the whole week with us learning about the Open Data Program and its goals. But I think it's really important to think about not just what you want people to learn, but how you want them to feel. And so we created 3 goals. We wanted them to feel inspired, so seeing what open data would make possible. We wanted them to feel fully equipped, so really ready to perform their duties as open data champions. And we wanted them to feel empowered. So not just like that they were competent as individuals, but really the sense that they had the backing from the city to go back to their departments and do this work. And in practice, what that meant was that we had a combination of activities. So we started off with a great keynote speech from Catherine Novoleski, who's the head of Hack Oregon in Portland, came in and gave like a really inspiring talk about the work that they do there and how open data feeds the work of civic technology. Then we had a number of interactive workshops on everything from how to create good metadata to the sort of life cycle of an open data set. And then probably the most impactful part were the panels that we did with users of open data. We had one panel that was made up of 5 people from different city departments who have worked with our program or done projects with open data in the past. So that kind of voice of internal champions. And then we had a panel discussion with 6 members of the community, spanning entrepreneurs, volunteers, and researchers, who talked about the importance of the city's open data for their work. And I think the combination of those things really created like a holistic perspective on what the open data program is and what it can be, and gave people the chance to start thinking about, you know, their role and how they might be able to impact the work of their department through the program, rather than just kind of fulfilling a mandate. We have the next Breakfast of Champions tomorrow. And I'm excited because we're bringing in a local firm called 8Nights that does virtual and augmented reality. And they're going to come in and talk about some of their work, bring some devices, bring some tools that are both like goggle-based as well as mobile-based, so that our open data champions can play around with it. And every time I mention this, people kind of raise their eyebrows at me. Like, why is government thinking about augmented reality? Like, that sounds really expensive and forward, you know, futuristic. But then I kind of point people back to what's been happening with Pokemon Go. And in Seattle, it just like blew up. If you go to any park in major centers, even in the evenings, you'll see groups of people gathered just playing Pokemon Go. And I read this article from CityLab about how there are far fewer Pokestops in low-income neighborhoods and in minority neighborhoods. In part because like the businesses there and those cultural landmarks like aren't on the radar. And it's true. Like if you walk around Seattle playing Pokemon Go, you'll see a lot of really interesting cultural landmarks in you know, more affluent neighborhoods. But we have areas like the Central District that have been home to like some incredible like artists and families and people who've been really impactful over Seattle's history. And I think about what would happen if, as a city, we were being proactive about addressing some of those historical inequities. You know, what if we were releasing data sets that showcased cultural and historical landmarks that are important to non-majority communities that, you know, reflect the diversity of our city and its history? That's the kind of thing that I think could actually be really impactful to people who live in our city. And it doesn't require us developing new technology. It just pushes us with our data and our work to stay up to date with what's happening around us.
Yeah, that sounds really amazing. And I'm curious as to who those folks are in the community that are using open data. I think other cities could probably benefit from just a little bit of discussion of who those folks are, how you engage them, what they're using the data for, and things like that.
Yeah, I'm happy to talk about that. We're very lucky in Seattle to have a pretty engaged technology community as a whole, even though our like self-defined civic hacker community is pretty small. And I think that for me reflects like a really interesting inflection point in this whole movement, where in the past we've had people who maybe we're government watchdogs or just really interested in seeing what the governments are doing and looking to data for insights in that. It's morphed a little bit so that people are now looking to government data as a potential source or one of many sources for information that can help them better understand and navigate the world. So for example, on that panel, we had a couple of researchers from the University of Washington, which runs programs like the Data Science for Social Good Summer Program. One of their projects this year was looking at over 20 million rows of data from our, it's called the Orca card. It's like the automatic boarding card for trains and buses. And just doing some analysis of that to see what the patterns are in public transportation and what planners might want to look at next. So it was a very like municipal or regional transit focused project, something with a clear application to the public sector. Another one of the panelists was a recent graduate from the Code Fellows program who together with his team had built an app that maps all of the public art in Seattle. And, you know, they talked about how delighted they were just to find out that Seattle has so much support for public art. And then, you know, created an app that's almost like a little bucket list of all of the spots that you can create an ID and check in and, you know, note which ones you've seen and which ones you haven't. So that's more just a fun tool for people to engage with the city, not the capital C city government, but like the city as it is.
Yeah.
And I think we're...
Candace, does the gum wall count in that?
I think so.
It's okay.
A use of public space. but no, I mean, this dives in a little bit to Breakfast of Champions, but I'm really excited about bringing in those perspectives and just kind of helping people in government understand how the public is using tech. I mean, in government IT, we have like a suite of tools that we use for work, but that's very different from, say, the tools that people are using in their everyday lives to get around. I would love for open data to be informing a lot of things that happen in the community without people even having to know that it's open data, right? I would love for it to just become like part of the norm to expect that when there's a street closure, it'll show up in your map, right? And it doesn't have to be like a whole huge project, but if we're publishing that data regularly in a format that any mapping tool can use, then the odds that people can find that information when they need it and that it's delivered to them almost without effort are much greater. So that's the kind of forward thinking that we're trying to do now with the Open Data Program.
And so you mentioned the Breakfast of Champions, and I think this is definitely something worth talking about for a little bit. Obviously, open data is really neat and everyone should engage with it, but there's probably no better way to get people around the table than offering them a free meal. So talk for a little bit about that initiative and how that's been successful and what you're doing to advance that going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I somehow always end up talking about the role of food, but I think it's actually just a great way to show people that we appreciate them. And also when people aren't hungry, they tend to be more open-minded. So we always try to provide food at Open Data events. But the concept of Breakfast of Champions is that we get together once a month with as many of the Open Data champions as can make it. And we do a 90-minute meeting, which is pretty long for the city. But the way we set it up is that the first part, like 30 to 40 minutes, is the program management. Things that we need to pay attention to, things that we are accountable for, like finishing this inventory of data sets and so forth. And then in the second part of the meeting, we get a little bit more into the fun stuff. So last month, for example, we had the web manager for Seattle Parks come in and talk about a project she'd done with Google with the Trekker backpack to map the trails inside parks, which helps people who maybe have accessibility issues or can't go up a steep grade for very long to know which parks are best for them. It just creates a more robust experience. And I think that was really inspiring for people around the table to see this department kind of going above and beyond, not just opening up data, but really creating data that adds value to the community.
That sounds amazing. And I'm curious also, Kansas, you just talked about like 10 amazing stories that sound really cool. But what are there any challenges in working with what you've done and how have you addressed them?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge always is that we're working with, finite time and resources, and also the fact that there's a lot of demands on people's time. So probably the hardest thing in the city is that, when someone gets excited about a service that they can deliver to the public, something that they know that is possible and that they might even have the personal capacity to do, if that isn't supported internally in a pretty formal way, it's really hard to find the time to do it. And so we have some people in the city who are just incredibly hardworking and go above and beyond, who will show up to weekend events and not complain about not getting overtime or something. They're really excited about the work. But making this kind of work sustainable requires a pretty significant level of buy-in and a demonstration of value added for the departments. And I think that's coming because the public, it demands it in a way. Like we want that information to be accessible. And it's my hope that we will reward city leaders who allocate resources into improving our use of technology. But making the case and then really supporting our open data champions to do the work that they, intrinsically want to do is the toughest part.
So looking forward, what's most exciting on your agenda for the next year? What are the things you're really excited about doing? What are the big wins that you're anticipating and looking forward to?
I'm very excited that we will have a new open data program manager join us shortly. We're really thinking kind of more strategically about how to do open data well in the long run. So adding some resources to our team is going to be really helpful with that. I will say again, as like the civic tech person, I'm very excited about moving our whole notion of open data into the future, really into the present, because historically it's come from this place of desiring transparency. And I think transparency is important, don't get me wrong. I think it's really important to have accountability loops that are traceable for the city to set goals and then report out to the public on what we're doing to achieve them. But transparency by itself can be a trap. And even if I look at the way that most open data policies are conceived of, it's just about releasing the data that you already have so people can see what you're doing. I'm less interested in transparency for its own sake and more interested in helping government do better work. And that requires some space for creativity and innovation. My hope is that we'll be able to do both of those things through the Open Data Program and think about what new data sets might we create or support or collaborate with the community to release so that we can start to not just look inward at what the city government is doing, but look outward to how we might better serve the city around us.
Great. That's all that we had. Anything else that you wanted to touch on, Candace?
You know, the biggest challenge for government is that we move very slow and deliberate, and there's good reasons for that. But meanwhile, the world around us is changing all the time. The needs of the public are changing. Their expectations are changing. The kind of technology they use is changing. And I think we have an opportunity with the Open Data Program and with the Civic Technology Program to just move a little bit faster and be more responsive to the needs of the community, at least with the information that we provide.
Thanks again to Candace for joining us this week. Now, as always, it's time for our question of the week.
This week's question is, which Seattle Mariner great was inducted to the Baseball Hall of Fame this year?
Submit your answer to govx@jhu.edu or send us a message on Twitter at @gov_ex, and you can have a chance to submit a topic for a future podcast. I want to thank Matt for joining us this week as co-host. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks. It was my pleasure being here.
Thanks as always for listening this week, and we hope you join us again soon to find out where the data points.